Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, there we go. I'm sorry about that, everyone. The Blog Talk Radio, the little slider bar here that helps me work on the volume on the intro, it wasn't responding properly. The music is still going in the background, so we might hear it a little bit. I am Gary Barkley. I have Matt Stannard with us here. We're here on Shared Sacrifice. We're doing Deflection 2016. There we go again. There's that music again. The slider is not responding. We're doing a Deflection 2016. The idea here, yeah, to play the funky music, white boy. What we want to do tonight is Matt. You and I have not been together here on Shared Sacrifice for low on at least 5 years. It's great.
We did a 4th of July special back in 2013. And I don't even remember what we talked about.
I don't remember either.
I do remember a little Independence Day celebration that we did on BTR on July 4th, 2013.
I'm glad you remember that. I'm very glad you remember that.
You don't remember it at all.
Maybe I was drunk. I don't know. It was the 4th of July, right?
Was it a weekday? Sorry.
I don't know. Well, the idea here, Matt, just to give our audience an idea, is that obviously Deflection 2016 has a lot to do with the fact that our candidates today are not dealing with the issues. And of course, we're Shared Sacrifice. We always talk about politics, but I'm kind of taking the tactic that, you know, it's been a while since you and I have talked just on the phone. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a conversation between you and myself that the world can listen to. But before we actually get into any sort of conversation, I know that you had a few topics you did want to talk about. I do want to just give the opportunity for anyone who's listening live to call in. They can call in, and it's not toll-free anymore. Blog Talk Radio has, ended that. But you can call in. Of course, you know, if you have a cell phone nowadays, the long distance, if you're in the U.S., is included. So it's 929-477-2578. Again, that's 929-477-2578. I'm here on the switchboard, and I'm going to go ahead and let you, Matt, decide where are we going to take this tonight. We have about 26 minutes left, so let's see where we're going to go.
Well, thanks so much. It's great. I talk to you a lot outside of the media, but it's great to hear you put your media hat on and your media voice on, Gary. You don't do it enough. I've been, since we did the show back, about 8 years ago that we started doing the show, because it was during Barack Obama's initial election year, and we interviewed all the third-party candidates, and that's something we've continued to do on politicalcontext.org, which is a website that we maintain. I managed to interview Jill Stein back in 2012 during her first presidential run. I also interviewed a few left sectarians and a few other folks, and that was interesting. So it's great to be back with you. And the way I see this is that we put the pain in campaign. I think that's the important thing. One of the things that I promised to raise the question of tonight is, if we continuously insult and mock the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, how is it that our rich progressive friends, our rich liberal friends, our rich centrist liberal friends, will continue to buy us beers? I think that is an important question. And the answer to that is that you, for me at least, is I just start to explain how even if Clinton is necessary to stop Trump, Clintonism won't stop Trumpism. And I start to get all systemic about my critique. And by that time, they are buying me beers to shut me up and to try to change the subject to sports or to down ticket politics or to almost anything to avoid talking about neoliberalism. So, you know, get all systemic on it and then they'll buy you beers. That's the answer that I have. But I wanted to one of the things that I wanted to highlight was just is just that this has been a very eventful week and kind of a bad week, Gary, for Donald Trump. And there's a great my favorite headline today is a headline in the Washington Post by Chris Saliza, and the title of the post is "Donald Trump Just Lost His Best Friend." And I, of course, my first thought was, "Oh, did something happen to Ann Coulter?" But then I read the article, and the best friend that the author refers to is the polls. If you remember, all all through the primaries, Trump was, you know, continuously referring to the polls as the ultimate sort of validation, the ultimate sort of answer to every argument about his viability. And the realism of him, of his candidacy. And so polls all the time. Now he's not doing too well in the polls. And in fact, one Fox poll, Fox News of all people, had him down 10 points nationally to Clinton. He's down 17 points to Clinton in New Hampshire. He's down 11 in Pennsylvania, which is a swing, you know, a key state. Six in Michigan. He's not doing well, and so so guess what?
I haven't heard Colorado.
Having lost his best friend, now here's what his disposition on polls. He says he said this at a rally. I think these polls. I don't know. There's something about these polls. There's something phony. That's what he said at a rally. On Tuesday, and of course, yes, there is something phony in the polls. it's him, but you know, nevertheless, he no longer trusts the polls. That was his go-to argument for a long time. It no longer is. So that was one of the articles I wanted to talk about.
Well, you know, I think that's an excellent point. That you know that they seem to the if you read. Washington Post, New York Times, Huffington Post, Daily Kos, Salon, Alternet, and Slate. Of course, Alternet and Slate are pretty much related to Salon, anyway. But if you were to read any of those, and of course, I know they're liberal bent. I grant you, I'm not going to be reading Red State, and I'm not reading Stormfront here on Shared Sacrifice. We always have a policy of no Nazis here.
Yeah, we've had a no-Nazis policy since today. We'll let anyone on our show except Nazis.
But no,
and now
Nazis.
There's one running for president.
No Nazis.
So what do you do?
Running for, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. I'm not sure he is. I mean, the thing is, I think that he doesn't have a rigid ideology like a fascist or a Nazi would have. You know, I'm a student of World War II, you know, being a former military officer, et cetera. So I read a bit on military history, et cetera. And I've read a lot on the decline of the Third Reich as it crumbled in the face of the Red Army. And at the end of the day, when you look at it, it all came down to Hitler believing that he always had the right answer, and that is the only parallel I see that Donald Trump has is that he's never wrong. From the standpoint of from the standpoint of national socialism, like, you know, the Nazis, Hitler had an ideology. I think that Donald Trump is more of a nihilist. He doesn't believe in anything but himself.
I think you may be right about that. I think that there are elements of his movement and elements of support for him that do strike me as fascistic in form, if not in content. I've referred to him as and his movement as incipient fascism, which is a nice, convenient word. But I don't, I definitely agree that it's not it is not full-blown fascism in that sense. However, we've also heard go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, you're absolutely right.
We've heard.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. We're having there's a little delay here because we're going through a blog talk. So I'm sorry about the delay. So you go ahead, Matt. I'll
don't worry.
Silence
at all,
for 5 seconds. That's fine.
it's nice to know that BTR is still the technological marvel that it always has been. the other thing I was going to mention was. There was actually a fairly decent article, a fairly decent analytic article by Ian Millhiser at thinkprogress.org yesterday. And the title of the article is, "If Trump Drops Out, the Result Will Be a Horrible Legal Quagmire." And, of course, this is occasioned. The exigency of this article is that there are these rumors that people are thinking Trump might drop out. Of course, if you ask him, he's never going to drop out. But the reason that it's a quagmire, according to this article, and this is something I had heard before, is that, first of all, it's not altogether – if he were to drop out today or tomorrow, he would still be on the ballot. He would remain on the ballot in most states anyway. And so, getting someone off the ballot is harder than getting someone on the ballot, even as hard as it is sometimes for some candidates to get on the ballot. And then the other part of it is that different states have different rules as to what that status would be. And then, of course, there's the quagmire of what would happen in Congress if you had any one of a number of anomalous electoral scenarios, which I'm sure you've heard about as well, Gary.
I absolutely have. I've always thought this was an interesting thing, but at the core of it, I think that Donald Trump is too much of a narcissist to be able to say that, I'm going to lose, I'm going to quit. See, that right there gives him too much credit in terms of self-awareness. I think that Donald Trump, because if you look at him on the stage, he just says whatever he wants. I mean, like does any rational person actually make fun of a disabled person and gesticulate, "Oh, I can't remember," and all that, and make fun of a person who has a known disability and make fun of that? But the thing, I'm sure everybody that's probably listening or has listened to this will have seen that. That where Donald Trump makes fun of that New York Times reporter that has the disability, and he acts like he's seizing up and stuff like that. Does any rational person ever do that? And basically, it comes down to a second grader does that when they're making fun of somebody on the playground. It's not right, but it happens, and a second grader can be excused for that. Donald Trump, however, has never had to face the discipline of not saying whatever comes into his mind. He's always had the wealth to be able to get sycophants to sit around and say, "Oh, yes, that was very funny. Oh, yes, you're always right," which is why he will never bring it to himself to say, I can't win this. I'm being beaten badly in the polls. Come the end of October, the last 2 weeks of October, when he's down 17 points in Pennsylvania and a down 11 points nationwide, and he's going to get, in his own words, schlonged, he might think twice about this, but it's too late to pull out. And he won't. But the thing is, he won't, because keep in mind that in Donald Trump's world, it's all winners and losers, weak and strong. Winners are strong, losers are weak. If he were to drop out, now keep in mind that the Republican Party doesn't have any choice in this. The only way that they can replace him on their ballot, I mean, by most in most cases under most state laws, is that if the nominee dies or voluntarily withdraws from the race. Right? That's
right,
the only way they have any way of doing it. And
they certainly have no way of compelling him.
Of forcing him.
To drop out. That couldn't happen. There are no, as far as I know,
and
there are
no
provisions for for that.
And I just don't see a person who believes. And I there was an excellent article on Daily Kos about this. I believe it was by now. Don't quote me on the name of it, but I believe it was by, and I'm trying to find it, but I don't know if this is right. I think it was by Keith Pickering on Daily Kos, but don't quote me on the name. That might not be right. But there was an interesting article on Daily Kos about that that actually looked at the psychology of it. And Donald Trump could not – no, I'm sorry. It was in the Washington Post. It was not in Daily Kos. It was in the Post today.
Okay.
And it was interesting that they made an interesting analysis that Donald Trump could not pull out of this race even if he wanted to because of his personality. Because keep in mind that to quit means to lose. You can't win if you quit. And he's always about winners
unless
and losers. It's black
bankruptcy.
And white.
But
keep in mind, but that's the thing. I think that he rationalizes bankruptcy in terms of, and he said this before, oh, that was just bankers. Just other people were being harmed, not me.
Sure.
But he didn't realize.
Sure.
But that was it. Other people were being hurt by bankruptcy, not me. And because he's a narcissist, right? He's a pathologist.
So the question in my mind is, what kind of narcissist is he? That's the question that keeps, or which Trump is going to show up in terms of that, because there is a narcissistic personality that would say, I'm taking my ball and going home. This process is unfair. Because it did not produce the outcome that I wanted, then I don't consider it legitimate.
Well,
and so I think the theory of him dropping out rests somewhat on the idea that he might be that kind of self-absorbed blowhard, and not the other kind of self-absorbed blowhard.
But there might be, and that's actually a question I wanted to get to, is that if he decided to stay in the race, because keep in mind that if he quit against a girl, that he can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton is a girl. He can't quit against a girl. I mean, you're in the sandbox. As far as he's concerned, he's in the second-grade sandbox. He can't let a girl win. And if he just gives up and goes home, the girl wins. And everybody in the sandbox knows that. And if you're in
the
second-grade
thing
mindset,
to me
which,
is
what
not,
you win.
The scary thing to me is not how abnormal Trump seems as a presidential candidate, but how perfectly normal his behavior is in the realm of executives of major corporations and real estate moguls.
But the business world is full of
people like him, and so the scary thing to me is not that there's one presidential candidate that acts like that, but the fact that there are so many people on Wall Street and in the world of real estate and in the world of buying and selling and the exploitation of humanity that act exactly like Donald Trump.
I definitely don't argue with that. However, the people that are doing that, and I'm not saying they're right at all, but they're not the people who are here in the sandbox right now trying to put their hands on the nuclear button.
Sure.
And that's exactly what he's trying
to
do. And
it is terrifying. And I want to say that I respect people who are so terrified at this possibility that they, will make a virtue out of necessity in terms of voting for Hillary Clinton. I also respect people who are voting for Hillary Clinton on principle because they believe in her as a candidate. That's fine. We have our disagreements.
Yeah.
I have my disagreements with folks who are doing that. But I totally understand also the we must avoid this guy at all costs. And what
I'm on that train myself.
But at the same
I'm
time,
actually on
what
that
I try
train myself.
To say is, We can beat back Trump, but how do we beat back Trumpism? We can stop this one guy, but how do we
actually
beat back the social forces this guy?
Well, I think that's a perfect question. I actually have an answer for it. the answer for it is quite simple. I mean, if Donald Trump stays in the race, now I think that there's a good likelihood that he will, and he's going to get, in his own terms, schlonged when he does. Now, if Now, he's going to come out and claim, you know what, I was robbed, I was stolen. It doesn't matter. Even if he loses by, you know, even if I remember, now, this might be incorrect, but I remember when I was a kid in 1984, when Ronald Reagan ran against Mondale. Mondale won Georgia and Alabama, and the rest of the country went to Reagan. I mean, really, I mean, it was electoral.
Mondale won Minnesota, states. Right? Because that was his home state.
Because that was his state. But it, yes. So I think he won two states, or it might have been Reagan won in 80, where he won Alabama. He won. I remember seeing the electoral map with Dan Rather on there, and he showed the electoral map, and there were two states, and right next to each other, Georgia and Alabama. And I think that was the Carter. It might have been 1980 when this happened.
Yeah, right, right.
Nonetheless,
perhaps, yeah.
Nonetheless, I saw that. It was all. And this was back in the day when they actually had it all blue and then red. So the colors were actually opposite back then. I don't know why I think of that way, but nonetheless, this is how it looked. I mean, basically, Carter lost by a landslide. The whole country said they wanted Reagan, and this is what I think the kind of electoral landslide that we're looking for that wins. Now, first of all, it takes care of the House of Representatives. That actually seems to be in play right now because of Donald Trump. The Senate is definitely in play because of Donald Trump. Now, the more important thing, though, I think, is that if Donald Trump were to lose, I mean, by a total landslide, he would still nonetheless contest it, saying it was all rigged. I won this race. I'm now the president of the United States, because he's a narcissist. He cannot give up. Now, I just want to let, but before I go any further with that, we only have about 8 minutes left in this episode. I want to let everyone know that we plan on doing this every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Pacific. We are doing this at 9 p.m. Central Mountain Time every Thursday night until the election. Now, if Donald Trump were to lose the election and he says, you know what, I've been robbed, even if it were like the Jimmy Carter landslide, Ronald Reagan against Jimmy Carter landslide, even if it was like that, Donald Trump would say it was stolen from me. His lunatic fringe will pick up their guns. And that's the way we cure this problem. I mean, it's going to be like Bundy's. It's going to be like the Bundy's occupying that refuge in Oregon. It's going to be like the Bundy's pulling their guns on BLM officers in Nevada. Mm. It's going to be like that. Only if we have a strong commander-in-chief at the time, in this case it has to be Barack Obama, although I'm not exactly sure he'd be particularly strong in this case, the government would need to stand up and say, we're done with the insurrection, give us your guns or die. And it basically, you put it in stark contrast like that, is we're not going to put up with your crap anymore. And I'm doing that because this is something I say crap instead of what I want to say, because,
sure.
We're PG here, but we're not going to put up with it anymore. We are done with the lunatic fringe. We are done with you dictating our gun laws. We are done with the Second Amendment being the only part of the Constitution you understand. And actually, I want to point out that today in Maine, in Portland, Maine, Donald Trump had a rally. And a bunch of like six or eight people stood up, and it wasn't even a protest. I mean, you couldn't even call it a protest. They stood up and held up pocket constitutions. They were escorted out because
he threw them out. Yes, absolutely.
Because they were being rude.
And you know? What you're saying is that that if Trump is humiliated and loses, there will be this backlash, but it will be a backlash that sort of burns itself out before our very eyes, as these attempts are made to sort of entrench little fiefdoms full of white terrorists, and I think that is I'm not saying that is an infeasible scenario. I think on the other end, what is happening to push back against Trumpism is a movement of progressives. That are many of the same people who were inspired by Bernie Sanders' candidacy. And I just got finished writing an article about the People's Convention and the movement that came out of the People's Convention in Philadelphia during the DNC convention, in which people from many different parties, including many progressive Democrats, as well as Greens, socialists, others, are putting forward an agenda, and they are electing down-ballot candidates. And they've already had several candidates win their primaries who are Bernie type of candidates. And that, to me, is the proactive way that you combat a lot of this Trumpism, which is pursuing a genuinely progressive agenda on the ground. So I think that is also a huge part of sort of what we do in the long term to try to prevent these self-absorbed, infantile, narcissistic businessmen from trying to be the white saviors of the old regime.
And you know that just you're absolutely. I think that's great. I mean, that's exactly what we need. We need more progressives. We need more people out there doing what needs to be done to combat this. And of course, you know that's one thing that I've always been afraid of. And let's assume that Trump it totally implodes here between Labor Day and the election, which Labor Day is, I think, September 5th, Monday, September 5th. If he completely implodes, I mean, he's got like basically maybe 3 weeks to pull it out, right? And I understand really Rudy Giuliani actually had to step in and tell him not to push a button when he was going to criticize the cons one more time. Rudy Giuliani was actually in the room and told him, don't press that button. It's time for you to stop that fight. And it was I don't know if that's speculative. I don't know if that's actually true or anything, but that's what I read.
When Rudy Giuliani is your voice of reason.
Yeah, I know that you've got a problem, but it's fascinating that that if he were to implode here, it puts the Senate in play. It puts the House in play. Of course, the White House goes to Clinton, et cetera. But assuming for the moment, and as we've seen with a lot of pipe dreams coming out of the left, you know, oh hey, imagine if the Congress, the House, and the Senate, and the White House were all in Democratic control with Hillary at the lead. Imagine what we can do. And you know, I just have to come back. I have to say, Trump has to be stopped. So yes, I probably will be voting for Clinton because I don't think Stein is going to be on the ballot in Utah, where I am. But nonetheless, I probably will be voting for a woman. I think that's important. I think that if Hillary becomes president and she were given a Democratic House of Representatives and a Democratic Senate, nonetheless, whatever Wall Street wants, Wall Street's going to get. That's always my concern, is that there's still going to be no taxes, more war. There's going to be low taxes
on the
rich.
Well, and if that happens, that's my point. That's finally my point about this whole systemic thing, because if that happens, if Hillary Clinton turns back again and the whole opposition to the TPP was a double head fake on her part, if that type of politics continues, then more Trumps are inevitable, because what happens then
No doubt. These
white nationalist blowhards then say, look at how the Democrats are ignoring the white working class, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And, you know, and there's this grain of validity to what they're saying in terms
of these
centrist Democrats not caring about the periphery, about the victims of these corporate trade deals and big banks, and et cetera. So that's my concern. And I see that we're just at 2 minutes left, and I want to thank everybody again for listening, and thank you, Gary, for pulling me back into this wonderful, if somewhat lighthearted, conversation about politics. I think one thing I'd like to discuss next week, if we can remember, is the possibility that Trump could lose in Utah. You're in Utah, and I would love to talk about how close he is coming to losing in Utah. And I think next week we can talk about some of the third parties as well. Always happy to bring them to the table and discuss them. And I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite blogs that I sometimes disagree with is a blog called Heartache with Hard Work that is maintained by my friend Charles Olney, who's definitely going to be supporting Hillary Clinton. And we don't always agree on everything, but he writes so reasonably well, and I'm happy to promote his work. So that's heartachewithhardwork.com, Charles Olney's blog. If you're a Clinton fan, or even if you're not, you'll find his arguments provocative and well put together.
Okay, well, thanks, Matt. We're down to the last about 15 seconds. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening. Next week, if we can, for my topic, I would like to talk about Donald Trump and Russia, if we have time, and we'll see what comes out of that. So about 5 seconds left. Thank you, everyone. Come back with us next Thursday. Have a good night.
See you next Thursday.